Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, dogs.
Dogs.
Sit.
Oh, look.
Sit.
Look at these smart
colours. Good boys.
No, oh, no.
Come and sit.
You moved.
Come here. Sit.
It was the good boy thing.
Sit.
I think that means a reward.
Sit.
Good.
Well done.
All right. Right. I think we can run
We
now.
Can go now. Should we go? Come on
Let's
in.
Let's go.
Running commentary with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Why the Bailey can run slowly is not a whole different
Oh, yeah.
But,
okay.
You know.
Place being set.
Yeah.
So, good morning, Running Commentary listeners. Paul Tomkinson is not with me today, but I am with Renee McGregor. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very excited that this auspicious arrangement because, I'll try and sum it up. One, Renee is a top sports dietitian. Is that a good way to put
it? Yeah, yeah.
With a book coming out. We were saying, we must have a chat and have a run sometime around now. And then, anyway, it turns out I'm on holiday in the town where she lives. So that's pretty great. And that really works well. This is the week your book comes out, is that
it
right?
It is. It's on Thursday, yes.
Very
Thursday
exciting.
Thursday is a publication date.
And most selfishly, I've been thinking very hard about food and fuel in the run-up to the Race of the Stones.
Of course, you've got that coming up.
Yes.
I've got the spine sprint coming up.
I was going to ask, you said you were training.
Yes.
The spine sprint is really tough, isn't it?
What's it's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I'm doing it.
Oh, well, by the way, we should explain. There are four of us running here today.
Yes.
It's me, Renee, and Bosco and Bailey.
Bosco and Bailey, the two dogs.
Who are they're very good, aren't they?
They're being all right.
Do you run with them a lot?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably do 2 or 3 runs a week with them.
Yep.
Kind of like recovery runs for me, and it just means that a bit of multitasking in terms of they get a good run, then they're tired for the rest of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can crack on with work.
But I also think there's a little element that I'm tuning into now, which is you probably think as you're running with them that you're getting a gentle run, but they're actually set a hell of a pace.
They're pretty nifty, yeah. Especially Bailey, he's been running with me for 10 years.
And yeah.
Yeah, he kind of tends to set the pace. And,
oh yeah, actually if I look at it now I can see that Bailey is just like really steady, really good form, nice gait, good line.
Yes.
Whereas
Bosco's a bit more skittish.
He's all over the place.
He's interested in all the other dogs that are around.
Yeah, and he's burning a lot of energy, you know, as time goes on.
Yeah.
He's going to find, you know, it's like an ultra runner running up the hills.
Oh, exactly. So Bailey's definitely the ultra runner. And Bosco's definitely the sprinter. But, it's good to have them to run with. I love running with them. It's like, I don't know, there's something about the companionship of running with your dog as well, which I really enjoy.
So, well, it's, I suppose, I mean, I haven't got a dog, right? But I'm imagining, I know how nice it is to run with someone.
Yes.
But obviously it's a great opportunity to really like have a massive conversational, you know, chew the fat conversation.
Yes, yeah.
But this is a more, you don't have to have that part of it.
You
just got company.
But you've got company. And I think like Bailey and I have been on so many adventures together. Like we just pack up the car and go somewhere, plot a route and off we go. And I've loved that, like that kind of sense of freedom.
Yeah. And does Bailey have a maximum distance?
Well, so he's getting on a bit now. So we tend to keep it no more than 8 miles.
Yeah.
But he used to be, you know, he would come out and do half marathon distances without any effort. He'd be out all day in the hills and the mountains.
There must have been some days when that was a bit of a pain for you.
Yeah.
So, oh, you're not tired.
He's never tired. That's the problem.
We're on the towpath of the, what is it, the Kennet and Avon Canal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just the most fantastic place to run, although I did promise myself when I came down here I'd get a bunch of, I'd get a lot of, you know, get some trail ascents in. Frankly, this towpath is too good.
There's lots of amazing trails around here, but you kind of, all the trails go off the canal path.
Yeah.
So you can get some pretty decent ascent in if you want to. I mean,
just peel off and head up the valley to the other side of the
basically.
Valley.
Yeah.
I think that I just love running the towpath so much because my style is like Bailey, you know, set me up in a straight line.
And off you go.
And off I go and just keep the pace that yesterday I just ran. I ran to where there's a big bridge, the canal goes over the valley and then turns hard right.
Yes.
And it's almost...
Yeah, so you went to Dundas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like...
It's about five miles.
About five, so there and back. Yeah. It's a great run.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a there and back run because you feel like... you always feel shorter on the way back because you know where you're going.
So
I mentioned your book. Your book is called More Fuel You.
Yes.
Understand Your Body and How to Fuel Your Adventures.
Yes.
Which is great. Sounds so, you know, I'm excited already. And, what's it? What is it in essence?
So, I guess I've been trying to think about how to describe the book because I think it's not a book that necessarily tells you what to do as such, like a lot of diet and fitness books out there. It's more about understanding an approach that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
Morning.
Hiya.
So I guess what I mean by that is that food is so personal.
Yeah.
And I think we live in a society where food says a lot about you, and also the exercise you do seems to also be related to your identity.
Oh, God, look at this heron. It's right there. Oh, see you later, mate. Didn't get a picture. Good Lord. So I was right there. I thought it was going to attack. Sorry to stop.
That's okay. No.
But it is, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because everyone has a relationship with food. If you do exercise, that defines your relationship with food.
Yeah,
and it's tailored to the individual.
Exactly. And I think, you know, obviously we've got social media, we have things like podcasts, you know, we have all these sort of external sources that influence and inform us.
Yeah.
But what I think people have stopped doing is listening to their internal clock. But also, I think people have stopped understanding their own behaviours. So I guess what this book does is it takes you on a bit of a journey. So it does talk about the physiology of the human body and why we need fuel and what fuel we need and what the body prefers and all those different things. And it also talks about the most common diet trends, nutrition trends that are out there, particularly in the sports world.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at things like plant-based and low-carb, high-fat, fasting and things. But at no point will I say you shouldn't do this. It's more about giving you all the facts.
Like an overview.
So that you can go away and make a decision, you know. Does my physiology fit that? Is that going to work for me? Or am I setting myself up to fail?
Absolutely. I really like that. I mean, because one of the things I don't like, it's slightly me, but I think it's not just my angle, is that if you're online or in a magazine or whatever, you quite often get these very short, very prescriptive things to do with either training or food or both. Let's say, these are the things you need to do.
Exactly.
And they're so strict and simple, you just think, how can I map that over real life?
Absolutely. And also, it also sets up, you know, if you think about it, a lot of runners in particular you know, put myself in that category. We're quite obsessive creatures.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you start setting up all these rules, what you should and shouldn't do, it can become quite dysfunctional.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that's it. So, you know, over the years, my job has evolved where I fundamentally work with a massive range of athletes.
Uh-huh.
But a big subset of the athletes that come to me are individuals that have developed a difficult and dysfunctional relationship with food.
It's easy to imagine how that can happen, like you say, because you make some decisions, you kind of, you might be strict in a certain way, and it can, it's not necessarily positive or negative. You can just get stuck in a mindset.
Yes.
Go too far down the road, which is good up to a point, kind of thing.
And I think then you override listening to your body. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like you might, I think, again, we've become people that, a population that just looks at outcome.
Yeah.
And the focus is so much on outcome, we forget that actually pursuing one outcome may mean that it affects something else going on internally.
Yeah.
So a classic example is, you know, when people put onus on weight loss, they end up putting their bodies in big, big deficits.
Yes.
But actually, the body doesn't cope with that very well.
Yeah.
And it goes into compensatory behaviours, including things like reducing neurotransmitters to your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
They help you to feel good.
Yeah, right.
So you actually end up feeling quite low and flat and don't appreciate that it's your behaviour around food that is causing that, because you're so focused on the outcome. And I guess that's what this book is about. It's about teaching people to understand their full self.
Yeah, great.
Including their psychology.
I think that that's really good. That sounds ever so useful, because I think there's two things at play here. One is that sense that something can be a really good idea 6 days a week and then the wrong thing on the seventh, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's great to go to parkrun every week, but sometimes there'll be a Saturday when you think, I'm not going today.
Yeah.
And that's a good decision too.
Yeah, totally. And I think
that
exactly
sense
that.
Also that, like you say, habit pulls us away from, you know, self-knowledge. And also, it's a very simple system. We quite often talk on Running Commentary about things that are kind of, you know, seem obvious. You really have to use your conscious brain to tell yourself. You know, the example I always think of is when you running up a slight incline, you tend not to think, this is slightly more difficult. You tend to think, oh, I feel rough, I feel unfit, I feel heavy.
Yeah.
And it's a hill, mate.
Yeah, well, totally. And I think similarly, like, we hear a lot about how, you know, movement and exercise and running is good for our mental health. And it is, to a degree.
Yep.
But if you are massively stressed out because work is stressful or home life is stressful,
yep,
and you then add another physical layer of stress on top of that by going to do a hard session,
yes,
you're fundamentally setting yourself up to fail.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all you're going to do is put your body at a higher risk of injury.
And and if you make your running all achievement based, you're not as close to the mental health benefits as you might be.
Exactly. So, you know, for myself, when I'm going through a particularly busy and stressful time at work, which is quite a lot, I'll often talk to my coach and sort of say, like, Damien, I'm on the road 5 days this week.
Yeah.
What should we do? And he'll be like, right, like, we're going to take all the speed out, and all I want you to do is focus on these two outcomes. That's it. And, you know, this week we'll just use it as a week that we're practicing X or practicing Y or...
Yeah.
So I think, because he knows that if I try and put a 50, 60 mile running week into a busy travelling week with work, it's not going to happen.
No, and you'll end up getting the worst of both worlds.
And I'll be, you know, I'll end up injured or too tired and then not able to do subsequent running weeks.
Yeah, just counterproductive.
Yeah.
So just a must take a moment to mention the fantastic place we are. We've just come through. What's Avoncliff, isn't it?
That's Avoncliff, yes.
And we're heading to Freshford. We're on the towpath, but then the canal turns hard right and goes across an aqueduct over the river and the railway to the other side of the valley. So we zoomed around, dropped down under the canal next to the river, and came and also passed this fantastic old... It's a huge building, but it's not like a stately home. It's like an old farm or something. It's big and old and brilliant. And now we're in this place.
Now
the dog's obviously made up. We're in a leafy path with fields either side of us dropping down to the River Avon on that right. Pretty special for a Londoner like me.
Yes, and the dogs are now free, which means that...
And you've got the dogs off the leash.
They're off the lead now, so they're free.
And they've gone. We won't see them again.
So we can run a bit more at our pace rather than at Bailey's pace.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think going back to what you're saying about runners in particular being a bit obsessive, you'll have more experience with this than me, but I find that some people who do exercise are very aware and to the point of being able to measure the benefits of rest, recovery, and yet I think in running, it often feels like we're kind of greedy for the work.
Yes.
And it's very hard to remember, you know, how important rest, sleep, recovery, how important these things are, not just to avoid injury, but to actually build strength.
Well, this is it. I think a lot of people don't realise that actually adaptation to training only occurs when you rest.
Yeah.
And also when you fuel appropriately.
Yeah.
So when you give your body not just the right fuel, but enough of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this constant conversation we have with no matter who I'm working with. I mean, I was working with England National Ballet yesterday because I'm their lead dietitian. And, you know, we've got a few dancers where over the last 18 months, there's had to be a really big education on, you know what, to get the body composition goals that you're looking for, you actually need to eat a lot more. It's not about, you know, moving more and eating less. It's actually about eating
fueling first.
To fuel the workload that you're doing. And you know, we've had some amazing results with female dancers actually realizing that to be the aesthetic that they need to be, they actually need to eat a lot more than they thought they did.
Which must be others. I mean, that's a paradigm shift in the industry, isn't it? Like you say, there's cultural assumptions attached to this stuff and long-held ways of thinking that you're wrestling with sometimes, I should think.
Yeah, totally. And I think runners in particular do fall into that trap a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of very old-school thinking of lighter makes me faster. Well, only if you need to be lighter.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a very fine line. Most runners have probably found where they run optimally just through running. And you know, sometimes thinking, oh, if I shave off another couple of K, I'll be faster, actually puts you in a place where you're not sustainable as a runner anymore.
Yeah, I mean, narcissistically, to make it about me, as a, you know, naturally big guy who also used to, I lost a lot of weight a few years ago, but I'm still big. Just sort of physically, you know, I mean, just sort of built that way.
Yeah.
And I find every now and again I'll be doing an event or something and I'll think, oh, I feel really fit, I feel really good, but I would love to be just a little bit lighter. And then I'll go out and it'll go really well and I get a really good time. And after, you know, several years of this, I just finally came to the conclusion of exactly what you just said. It's like, maybe I don't need to be lighter. Yeah. Is this where my strength lives?
Exactly. And I think, you know, when I'm educating junior athletes, it's about helping them to appreciate realistic goals about their body type, because we're all different.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
We all come in different shapes and sizes.
Yellow flowers coming in on those lily pads on the other side of the river. Sorry to be distracted, it's so beautiful here. Just fantastic. Good Lord. We're supposed to be stopping for the dogs, okay. Stopping for me.
Oh, they're off.
So, you're talking about junior athletes, and I really like the sense that everyone has different needs and things, but are there any...
Bosco, this way, come on. Bosco, come on. Oh, careful, come on. Good boy.
Well done, Bosco. I haven't licked my legs yet. Obviously, I haven't got the salt pattern that they need.
Come on.
Are there any kind of headlines that you think everyone might need to hear? Or is it too bespoke for that kind of stuff?
I think the headlines, the key headlines I'll be is, I would say, carbs are really important for runners.
Yep.
And whether you like that or not, it is the truth.
Yeah.
I would say, actually, the other big thing is often runners underestimate how much fuel they really need.
Yep.
And again, that's a really big one to help runners understand just the amount of fuel they need, not just for their training, but actually for general life processes.
Yeah, yeah.
And too many runners fall into the category of thinking, oh, but I haven't run today, so I don't need to worry. Well, that's not true, because your body still needs to function.
Yeah.
Your body still needs to recover. It still needs to adapt.
And if you run regularly, it probably still thinks of itself as a running machine.
Totally. Absolutely. So we'll head out this way, just because there's lots of dogs up.
Nice. Also, we're in places I've never been before now, which is exciting for me.
This is Freshford. These are Freshford fields.
Just coming through this long grass, we're going to get nicely cooled, wet feet, because we were quite lucky today, weren't we? It was pouring with rain about an hour ago.
It was.
And now we're by Freshford, which is clustered on the hillside like a wizarding community in the sunshine in this fantastic meadow. So carbs are important and enough food is important.
Yeah. And I think just not focusing on the weight. The big thing I'd say is if you fuel appropriate to your training, your body composition will end up being where it needs to be.
Right, right.
There's no need to focus on a racing weight or any of those things. It's actually
kind of separates it out unnecessarily.
Yeah. You know, in my own training, when I'm in big training like I am at the moment, I have to eat all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, I notice that, you know, in the lead up, these last few weeks, while I have absolutely couldn't tell you how much I weighed because I don't weigh myself, but, you know, you see the slightly more defined features in your body.
Yep.
And you know that you're in that position because of the training and the fueling you've done.
Yes, it's just coming together. And you're listening to your body and you look at it.
Exactly.
The dogs have made a friend. So, your spine sprint.
Yes.
When is that?
2.5 weeks.
Yeah, and how far is it?
46 miles.
Over which hills?
So we start in Edale, over the Pennine Way.
Yep.
And end in Hebden Bridge.
Oh, wow.
But
beautiful country.
Yeah.
Some gradient there, I think.
A little bit of gradient. But I think the real test is that it's completely self-supported.
Right.
So there's no checkpoints and there's no help.
Yeah.
You just have to make it from A to B, 46 miles on your own.
And what is your fueling plan?
Well, so I've been trying out lots of different things over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll go that way.
Great.
Over the last few weeks. And so I always use a mix of real food and sports products.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there is a place for sports products.
Yeah.
They do deliver energy when you need them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've
kind of phased out carb gels, but really because they make me feel so queasy. I recognise their worth. I don't regret the ones I've had, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to work without them now.
So I tend to use a company called Vela Forte, which is the only company that has managed to use real food ingredients to make sports performance products that actually work. And, you know, so actually the products taste amazing.
Yeah.
They taste like real food.
Yeah.
But they deliver on carbs and they deliver...
Oh, that's what you want, isn't it, really?
You know, on electrolytes and all those
things. I'm assuming they come in all different shapes and sizes, i.e. sort of sweets and bars and liquids.
So there's bars, there's gels.
Whoops.
There's these little chews that are like little blocks of Angel Delight, but they taste amazing.
Excellent.
Like there's a lemon and mint and an orange and ginger, which, you know, are really good for when you're feeling a bit queasy.
Yeah.
So I use Velaforte products, but I also mix it up with peanut M&Ms.
Yep.
Mini cheddars.
Good.
Crisps.
I heard tell of mini cheddars the other day.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be good.
Yeah, and also bagels if I can get them.
I love that I said heard tell of mini cheddars like I'd never heard of them. I meant for running.
Yeah. But Marmite bagels if I can get them. I mix it all up, but something I've been practicing with is actually putting. So Velaforte do these blackcurrant flavour gels.
Yeah.
And I've been putting them in my bottle and mixing them with water.
Yeah.
And it basically tastes like Ribena.
That's good.
And that has been an absolute game changer for me.
Blackcurrant is one of the fruits that's got the most calcium in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Just showing off my knowledge there.
But also, and it's vitamin C fact. As well.
Yeah.
So it's really good because so the vitamin C can help to, you know, I mean, you can't prevent wear and tear when you're doing these races, but it can sort of protect aspects of it.
Yeah,
but
it's like
really,
a defensive shield.
The main thing for me is that this drinking it in this formula, means I'm taking on energy from the moment we start.
Yeah.
And that's really critical because otherwise, especially when you're in races, you sort of get carried away, and if you're using poles, it can be quite difficult.
Now, that's one thing I've never done and have been interested in is fueling through liquid.
Okay.
I remember going into the London Marathon thinking, making sure I'm going to get enough water. When we talk about hydrating enough, I feel like water is a pretty good way to hydrate, you know.
Yeah.
And then when the other option is a very thick, sugary, kind of squashy. Should we change routes or creep past?
I think.
Oh, there's lots of them.
There's quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll change routes. I think.
Yeah.
We won't go down.
Let's not run the risk.
We won't run with the cows. We'll be some responsible dog owners.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, well done. I hope you heard that, listeners.
Come on.
I just realised just then that you're wrangling two dogs constantly. I really should have taken one of these dogs on board.
Oh, no, it's fine. There.
I'm not sure what even distribution of work. On the other hand, with my skills, I'll probably end up getting dragged across the field on my face.
No.
And that'd be fun too. But yeah, so, you know, with the marathons, often when it's external stuff, the other option is a thick, sugary kind of squash, you know, healthy, but just something, if you're not used to, I would never want that, you know, sticky enough under your feet, let alone in your throat. But at the Brighton Marathon, I think their listeners might remember this, I drank at a water station. It turned out not to be water,
okay.
And it was quite a light, it's kind of a salty, it's, you know, I felt like the word electrolytes came into my head when I took it. And I thought, oh, I wouldn't have chosen that, but frankly, I think that's fate. I think it's luck. I've been wanting to find a good liquid, like you say, because the other day me and Paul were trying some different foodstuffs on a long run. It's quite a long run.
Yes.
But we hadn't gone nearly far enough to need any food. So it's very hard to know, you know, what that would actually be like.
Well, I think this is it. I think, so for me, I only really do these quite long-ish runs, and I tend to do trail or mountains rather than road. So that generally means that I'm always going to be out for longer than 3 hours, generally speaking. Come on, let's go. Come on, we don't
What's
need to drink.
In there?
He's trying to get the water off.
Oh, I see. That's another thing you can do if you want to hydrate, is to lick the grass.
Lick the grass, as Bailey does. Yes, as the dogs are demonstrating.
We're in one of those fields. This is a young crop, I think.
Yes.
It's going to be a tall golden sheaves of wheat in a couple of months.
Come on,
Bailey. One of those fantastic paths picked out through the middle. And no cows.
No cows. So yeah, I think the thing for me is that, so I practice with fuel a lot, and obviously it's part of my job as well, so that I can help to provide people with different ideas and information, because again, no two people are the same.
Yeah.
So there's not like a fueling strategy that's going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
And you have to get it to work for you.
Yeah, there must be some things that you've recommended to other people that they love that you yourself would think, bruh.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's loads of different products on the market, and there's no one product that's any more superior than another.
Yeah.
It's just finding the one that sits well with you. You look forward to having it. It's palatable after, 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these are some of the key things to be thinking about. And then when you're doing really long races like I'm gonna do, also knowing that you're gonna get hungry, you're gonna need real food, you're gonna want to actually eat.
And another element for me is, particularly as someone who's never done an ultra of any kind, is it's okay to not know yet. The trick is gonna be to take some viable options and see what it feels like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I do in my training. So always practicing fuel, because I think the biggest mistake runners make is not practicing fueling when they're training.
Yeah.
And then assuming that their stomach's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But actually, if you don't practice, you can't train your gut. And, you know, at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is you're running, so all the blood flow is being moved away from your stomach.
Yep.
To your working muscles, which does make digestion more complicated.
Oh, absolutely. I know this, I say I've never done an ultra, but from running marathons, and also, with that different pace, running marathon and trying to do it as fast as you can.
Yeah, totally.
I know the physical experience of my digestive system essentially kind of automatically mothballing itself. It's a good trick, but it's not conducive to eating potatoes.
No. Come on in. Well done. Right.
Thanks, hello
Thank
again.
Thank you. Right, come on, hang on, come on. Go on then. You go off again.
No, this way, guys.
Bosco, come on. Bosco, come. Yeah, exactly.
At the moment, I'm looking to pocket a little saurian malt loaf or two.
Yeah.
Little. Salty potato.
Yep.
Some listeners, when I told them I was having a baked potato, I think they really thought I was having like a two-hander full of beans. But no, just a little
baked potato.
Mouthful.
This way.
Kind of a Trek peanut chocolate bar.
Yep.
And I haven't found them yet, but yeah, some kind of fruity block type deal. And someone was recommending a cherry one.
Okay.
Sounded good to me.
These all sound like really good options, and I'm definitely a big fan of potatoes on the run.
Yeah.
If you can get them, they're really good.
This Marmite bagel talk is making me quite excited.
Marmite bagels are great because you can cut them up into quarters and just nibble on them.
Yeah, yeah.
You get that bit of salt, you get the carbs.
Yeah.
Bagels are nice and easily digestible. So works, again, works for me.
Just as a human as well, I'm very much a, you know, I think a first thought and also experience of running sends people towards sugar and cake and things like this.
Yep.
And I'm very much a savoury tooth person. Once you start talking about potatoes and Marmite, we're talking about foods that I'd get excited about when I'm not running.
Okay.
And that stuff is relevant, isn't it? You better get your dogs back.
My two can get a little bit overwhelmed, so just check they're coming. Come on, Bells. Bosco.
To be fair, they've just met 9 new friends.
Good boy. Come on. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he did earlier. Yeah, come on then, boys. Let's go. Good boys.
Great name. Oh my goodness, I've come to Jane Austen's hometown and met Knightley in a field.
Come on in, good boy.
But I think, you know, I genuinely do love a salty potato and a bit of Marmite, but it's not just silliness, is it? It comes back to the first thing you were saying, is you're going to eat something that you're going to get on with.
Thank you.
Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Bosco, come. And Bells.
Gosh, it's all very literary. After Knightley, this is called Tess Gate.
Yeah. Bosco, come. He's not very good at gates. He doesn't actually know how to use a gate. There we go.
No, I'm not going to let you through there.
There we go.
Let's be clear. Yeah, it's supposed to the gate while they call
done.
You Tess Gate. I'm trying to think how hard he is, sort of, this line of country, isn't it? Anyway, enough of the literary. Let's get back to that. So, that's the... going back to that thing about training up your gut. You know, I know... from direct experience that my, and also day to day, I don't know how wise it is, but generally I run on an empty stomach. And when I run hard and far, it gets harder and harder to imagine putting something in it. Listeners will know I had a very dramatic experience trying to ingest one Starburst. The Brighton Marathon, it took me about 10 minutes and all my effort, you know, it's like, I can eat this, I can do this. And that's one little sweet. So.
But I think that's the thing, like when you're running on road and you've got a pace that you're trying to hit and you know it's going to be fast, that's where the sports products really come into their own, because they deliver.
They kind of circumnavigate
that energy
the process
directly to the place they need to go.
Yeah, brilliant.
And you don't have to worry about digesting it. Obviously, when you're doing Race for the Stones or Spine Sprint or anything like we're doing next, come on. You've got more time.
Yes.
You know, you're much more of a sedentary pace. You probably hike up some of the hills and...
Psychologically, you know, it's actually helpful as an inexperienced ultra runner to be reminded that you're supposed to be running it slightly more, in a slightly more, for want of a better word, human way.
Yes.
You know, you might be not walking, you might be stopping, you might be having a nibble or a chat. It's more like real life.
Exactly. And you're out there for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's not the same as a marathon or a half marathon where, yeah, you do need that instant energy that can help you maintain that pace.
We're
Bailey, Bosco!
Oh, wow, it's an incredible butterfly. I wonder if I can get it on Zoom. It's just landed on a hog's weed by the
river
there.
Gone in and got stuck. That'll be fun.
Back. Butterfly, huh?
Oh, you're both out. Well done. Come on in. They've been swimming.
It's the magazine shot. I just didn't get there in time. And how's your training going? What kind of distance have you put in? You said you did some training this weekend.
Yes.
Did you get some mileage in there?
I did. Got some big mileage in last weekend. So I'm coached by Damien Hall.
Yeah.
And Damien and I have... Well, we're good friends. We go back a long way. And he started coaching me 2 years ago. And it's been great because he really listens. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not your bog standard individual that can just follow a training plan because my job does not allow me to do that.
No.
So, you know, often we'll be communicating always weekly, but even sometimes daily. And I'll be like, oh. So last week, for example, I was in London, then Sheffield, then Bristol, and then back to London.
Yeah.
And that's not conducive to good training.
No, right.
So like I said, we work around it. But yeah, he's what we did at the beginning of the training plan for this build up was look at good weekends that I had available.
Yep.
And sort of Damien suggested that 6 weeks out from the race I go up and recce some of the route.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So I went up a few weeks ago and recce'd the first half of my race.
Yeah.
Which is actually the most difficult bit.
Yeah.
The most technical bit. So that was good. That was a big weekend of mileage.
Oh yeah, and that would be huge psychologically because you've pre-disastered it. You're not gonna have any nasty surprises.
Exactly. And then this weekend just gone, I did two back-to-back big runs. So 23 miles on Saturday and 18 miles on Sunday.
Yep.
But felt really good.
Yeah.
And
when you say felt really good, was there any, when you set out on Sunday, did you think, did your legs go, wait a minute, we did this yesterday?
To start with, my hamstrings were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But actually, I was really lucky. I was running with a really good friend of mine.
Yep.
And she's just very awesome at starting slow.
Yep.
And keeping me in check.
Yes.
So it's exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, 18 miles flew by.
Brilliant.
So
there's a funny mindset, isn't there? I think this is, you know, I've dabbled in this myself. I need to get up to a similar mileage to you, but I did a 20, then a 10 on consecutive days a week or two ago. And I found on the second day, you start to feel a kind of separateness as your body, well, it's training, isn't it? As your body kind of accepts it.
Yeah.
So as a kind of person, you're thinking, I'm a bit tired, my legs are a bit achy. As a running machine, you're kind of thinking, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah.
On we go.
Yeah. So, but I think also, like, for me, because I knew this was coming up, I'd thought about, even though I was on the road, I'd thought about my nutrition.
Yep.
In the lead up to it. On Saturday, I was really focused on recovery.
Yeah.
Making sure that I was giving everything my body needed so that I could do that again the next day.
Yeah, very good.
You know, like, I'm really, so that's what I mean in terms of, it's not always volume for me because of trying to juggle full-time, often more than full-time work.
Yeah.
You know, Damien always says to me, sometimes I wonder if I should tell you not to do so much.
Yeah.
But
but again, it comes right back to what you were saying about heavy schedules and running not being good for your mental health if you beat yourself over the head with it. When it comes down to it, if you're busy doing your job, that's correct, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's how life works.
Yeah, and so we've had I think we've generally had a really good build-up, apart from I was poorly 3 weeks ago. I actually went to do a race in Brecon and had to DNF because I got to 8 miles and I knew I wasn't well.
Something was amiss.
Not right. I felt awful. And I rang you and my partner and was like, I can't continue. There's something wrong.
Yeah.
And actually, I had a pretty nasty stomach virus.
Right.
For about 10 days.
Oh, gosh.
So that did put me back a little bit.
Yeah.
But like I said, had a good training weekend last weekend. I've got one more long run this weekend.
Yep.
Shoelace is undone. And then that's it, really. Then it's just
well, then
being
you get
ready.
To the famous taper.
Yeah.
And that ties in with something, obviously, I need to talk to you about while I got you. Is over the years, and I think, again, to be fair to people, silly people, that it's in the kind of cultural dialogue, carb loading.
Yes.
And that becomes a bit of a joke, you know, the idea that you might have a couple of burgers and a pizza and a big bag of chips the night before a run, you know.
Yeah.
Which, of course,
you don't do.
Doesn't work well, I know,
no.
Actually.
No.
Possibly from personal experience, not fessing up here at all. But in all seriousness, I remember doing a half marathon when I was coming back from injury. I was quite, you know, I knew I was less fit. And it was when I was first having on a plant-based diet.
Right.
And I just felt in the run, I thought, I'm simultaneously full of food and without and fuel.
Yeah.
Yep. I can feel it, so it's good to know at least. But me and Paul have very much got used to the idea of, you know, how carb loading is not about, it's not about loads of food.
No.
It's about upping the healthy carb element
exactly
in those pre-race meals. Because of muscle recovery.
Yes. So this is where a lot of people go completely wrong. I mean, first thing I'd always say is, if you're running on a Sunday, really you should be thinking about your carb loading, if we're going to call it that.
Yeah, which I can see why you'd be uncomfortable with that.
sort of actually Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Because it actually takes 48 to 72 hours for carbohydrate to be made into glycogen stores. So doing it the night before is kind of pointless.
It's not going to do much, right?
No.
And when we're talking about healthy carbohydrates, my understanding is, I don't know, again, potatoes, brown rice is a favourite of mine.
It's what I always say, it's not about increasing your overall intake of energy. It's about changing the composition of your diet for a few days.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you normally have, I don't know, like porridge with nuts and fruit for breakfast, you'd have porridge with a banana and honey, for example. And all you've done there is change the composition.
Just adjusting the faders.
A little bit more carbohydrate.
Yeah, yeah.
If you normally snack on nuts, maybe you'll snack on a crumpet or a hot cross bun.
Oh, yeah, please.
It's not about stuffing your face full of pasta at these like pasta parties.
And
what I always do is, I'll definitely focus on carbs on those crucial days.
Yep.
And then the day before my race, I tend to just eat what I normally enjoy.
Yeah.
But I'll have my main meal at lunchtime.
Yes, right.
So that I've got a bit more time to digest. And to be honest, you've done the hard work by then.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't eat anything that's going to irritate your gut, you can pretty much eat how you'd normally eat. So, you know, I find I run really well on rice or pasta or potatoes.
Yes. Yep.
I tend to avoid too high salty things or anything that's too high in fat the night before.
That's the other thing about unhealthy carbs. I mean, obviously, you know better about specific nutrition, but sort of carby things can be very kind of sugary and salty. Yeah. That's why it is worth thinking about the slightly more, I don't know, nutritious sounding ones.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, when I finished, all I want is a beer and chips.
It's amazing how appropriate a beer could be.
Yeah. But in the lead up to it, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know it's not going to fuel my race particularly well.
Yeah.
So.
And are there any other useful, nutritional elements to include? I often think about blood oxygen and iron. I hit the dark leafy green vegetables and beetroot juice in a run up to a long run.
So again, the thing about beetroot juice is that if you look at the studies, there's actually very little evidence that it supports endurance runners. It's really good for short distance or repeated sprints, but it's not that great for, it's not going to improve your oxygen capacity.
It's also terrible for giving you a nasty fright when you get to the bus.
Absolutely, yeah. And when it comes to iron, again, it's what you do in the lead up, the weeks and the months beforehand.
Yeah, it needs it.
Because again, iron takes a while.
Yeah.
To store in your body and to maintain your blood levels. So really, again, it's trying to make sure you're making those good decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
On a daily, weekly basis.
I mean, luckily, you know, for better or worse, being vegan and trying to eat sensibly and doing a lot of running, one does, you know, one thinks about pulses and legumes and, you know, I want lots of chickpeas, I want lots of nuts, I want lentils, I want, and all the dark green, irony vegetables and this kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. So it does, so those are things, but I think one of the things that I try and think about is also hydration.
Yes.
Particularly, you know, the spine sprint is pretty much Midsummer's Day.
Right.
and appreciate it could be anything because we're in the Peak District. So.
And this thing with the heat, it was the Hacking Half the other day, which always seems to be on a very hot day. And you know what I was saying earlier on, it does seem to be one of those things that you have to manually tell yourself when you're running in higher temperatures. It's different. It's a different physical situation.
Yeah, totally. So I will actually, so I've already started, now that it's warmed up, generally, I will actually have electrolyte drink before I go out for a run.
Yep.
And then I'll drink it when I get back. And obviously on my run, I'll also drink electrolytes.
So, I feel like I'm a bit of a fool here. I don't really know much about it, but so an electrolyte drink is basically very watery, very hydratey, but it's got good salts.
Yes, fundamentally. So it tends to be like a tab or even a salt capsule some people prefer to take.
Yeah.
You can even get chewable ones now.
Right.
So for the spine sprint, I've got them all.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea what I'm going to feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't want to taste something. So that's where a salt capsule is something, really good.
Something's just jumped you just, into my sock, excuse me. What's this?
Because it just delivers the sodium that you need.
Yeah.
That you're losing in your sweat, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem is if we're going to go down this way.
Great.
If you become too salt depleted, it can make you feel quite nauseous.
Yeah.
And it can actually prevent you from taking on fuel.
Right, because you feel queasy.
And, you know, in the worst case, it can be detrimental. It can, you know, you can actually die from being low, from having not enough salt if you lose too much. So, come on.
And again, I feel, you know, coming from my naive position, it does feel like the conversation starts with sweet and stodgy foods. And it's slightly more, you have to think about it a bit harder before you get to the sodium end of things. Not least because, of course, this isn't stuff you're going to need unless you go a long way.
Exactly.
You've got to sweat for a couple of hours before you start having to rebalance your bodies.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, you know, our little run today, I'm not so worried.
Yeah.
But, you know, on Sunday when I'm out.
But I'm definitely putting out enough salt for your dogs to lick my legs.
Yeah. But on Sunday when I'm, you know, when I'm out on a 20 miler, then I'll be thinking about salt in the lead up to that, afterwards, and during. Because
I mean, not to be too crass about it, but you know, when I go for a long run, particularly in the heat, then you do, you get rid of salt, you know, you get end up with salt marks on your clothes and stuff. So,
and we're all individual with that as well. I'm a very heavy sodium loser, as such. Have very, very high sodium losses.
Right.
So I have to keep on top of it. As a female as well.
Yeah.
Certain times of my cycle, it's worse. So again, I have to be mindful of that.
I'm glad you said that, because that's specific to sodium and your cycle, but female fueling in general, there must be a lot of, you know, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is different. And again, it's very different. It is also different between females too.
Right.
So again, it's not a, you know, you must do this and you must do that.
Yeah.
It's something that you learn. Like, I know my body really well.
Yep.
And definitely find in the first couple of weeks of my cycle, in what we call the follicular phase, before I ovulate, I can get away with not worrying too much and I'm fairly stable. But when I'm in the second 2 weeks of my cycle, that's when I notice that Fosco's trying to
Fosco's going off to dance and fly. It's like Star Wars. Whoa.
I have to be a bit more mindful because I know that my blood sugars fluctuate a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find that I need more carbohydrate per hour than I would in the previous 2 weeks. But also things like my heart rate's always a bit higher, my effort's a bit harder, I sweat a bit more. So these are all things that I've learnt, again, just through observation and keeping a monitoring.
And it comes back right round to the first thing you were saying about what your book is for, is that not only does every individual have different needs, but every individual has different needs at different times.
Exactly.
So it's better. Your book is a way of working towards a three-dimensional relationship with fueling.
Totally. It's exactly that. It's not saying that you know, nobody needs carbs. It's saying you will need carbs, but you might need it here, and you might need it here.
Yeah.
Or it's not saying that you shouldn't go plant-based. It's saying if you want to go plant-based, that's great, but these are the things you need to be mindful of.
Yes.
And it might not work for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's a good one. The guy, I really enjoyed being plant-based just in life.
Yeah.
But I initially took it on to see if it would help with running.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
But it was recommended by a friend of ours on the show, Mickey D. Really a serious runner, Australian guy. And he recommended it, but he also told a fantastic story where he was doing the London Marathon and feeling pretty beaten, pretty knocked up.
Yeah.
And a guy offered him some biltong. He was like, yes, that's exactly what I need.
Yeah.
It took me ages to realise that that's basically, you know, that's not a very vegan snack,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, beef jerky. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes you have to... I'm going to let the dogs have a dip.
Yeah, good.
Sometimes you have to do what your body needs in that moment.
Yeah. That's
and
a
I guess
prime
that's
example of that, isn't it?
The other thing about the book is it just gives you that permission. You can, you know... Come on. Bailey.
There they go. This is the old Ford.
Go on then, in you go.
Bradford on Avon, stepping stones there. It's all a bit picturesque, isn't it? Well, thanks for that excellent run.
Oh, no worries.
Let's see how far we went. We've gone, well, exactly five.
There you go, yeah.
4.99, 1p off, so they have to open the till. And, well, I suppose now the dog's having a dip, we should wrap up, although I feel like we could run and chat all day.
Yeah, probably,
but,
yeah.
Who publishes your book?
A Vertebrate. So it's Vertebrate Publishing. Like I say, it comes out on Thursday. I guess what fundamentally I want people to take away from the book is when you finish reading it, I hope what you feel is I care about you and you're relevant.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to take away from the book. Those are the two statements that I want people to hopefully leave with.
Well, and how about if I... you know, periodically email you from here on in with photos of things I'm about to eat saying, is this okay?
You can do that if you want to. I might not always answer. No, you can definitely do that if you want to.
Might not be ideal.
No, I think a lot of my friends are always a bit like, can I just ask you a question?
Yeah. Well, that's the trouble with being
I'm
an
technically
expert.
Off duty, but go on.
Oh, and where can people find you online?
So I have a website, which is reniemcgregor.com. And I'm also on Instagram as r_McGregor. And my Instagram is very much about an education platform. It's, you know, if you want to find out about my life, you're not going to find anything out about me.
Right. Okay.
But, but yeah, it is very much.
I did just get slightly distracted by someone else's dog saying, oh, just next to Justin. Hello.
Dogs everywhere.
It's dogtastic.
It's definitely a dog haven here.
Yeah. I've seen a lot more dogs than runners. Not as many runners around here as...
Well,
as,
it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I have to admit, I mean, I've been living here 5 years and there are runners. There's an Avon Valley Running Club.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I rarely bump into people. I mean, I've got friends I run with in Bradford. They're both away at the moment. So, and my partner and I run together.
Yeah.
But because I spend half my week here and half my week in Bath with him,
I do get
a quite nice mix of running, which is quite nice. So
you've got 10 miles of towpath just between the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
And I often run over to his. Like, that's a really good morning training run.
Yeah,
it's just
to kind of...
So, you know, we were talking about it, trying to make plans for this weekend, and I was like, well, I think what I'll do is, if we stay at mine on Thursday, if you take the car over, I'll run over, because it's an easy way to get 10 miles in.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just something about running for a purpose.
Running to somewhere.
Makes it better for me. I'm definitely, you know, I quite like a point-to-point rather than a out and back. So, I mean, to be honest, spine sprint works beautifully for me from that point of view, because it is a point-to-point. But, it is good. I feel very lucky. And my relationship with running has changed over the years. You know, I very much started as, I suppose, somebody who just started running because it was a way of getting a little bit of a break from my children and from life. And I used to live on a boat, so I just used to run out and back along the canal.
Brilliant.
And then I joined a running club because I entered a couple of races and people were like, you're really good. Do you want to come and join the club?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I don't think I'm that good, but I'll join the club. And it was really nice. And I've met so many of my closest friends at the running club. In fact, I met my partner at the running club. So, you know, it's been great. But then I definitely got caught up in that cycle of...
Can get a bit serious training.
Exactly. Goal-oriented. Wanting to just hit times all the time. And I made myself really sick and ended up with an autoimmune condition because of that. Right. So I ended up with an autoimmune lung condition called sarcoidosis, which has left me with 73% lung function. So 5 years ago, when I moved to Bradwen-Avon, I hadn't run for 18 months because of my condition. I was so poorly, I couldn't even get upstairs.
Yeah.
And I met my friend here, Jen Benson, who is a brilliant human being. And she was like, come on, we'll just go for a little jog. There's no target, let's just... And she got me out for my first 5K, and slowly over the years, we've built that up. And she's the one who ran 18 miles with me last Sunday.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, we were chatting about how far I'd come in all that time. And, you know, 2 months ago, I got British Trail Running Champion for my age group for the
short
distance.
Getting the best out of your lung function.
Exactly. And you sort of think, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think running doesn't have to be, you don't have to be good at it straight away.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get the time. You don't have to put yourself in that place. You can, for me, it's really about enjoyment. And it's about, like you've done today, just enjoy watching, like taking you on a very normal run for me, but watching how much joy it's brought you to be outside, to see all the beautiful places.
Oh, yeah, running in fields with dogs is magic for me.
And that, to me, that's what makes running so special.
Yeah.
Because it's something you can share with people.
I totally agree. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was running. People always talk about the mental health benefits. And of course, we feel them. It's true. It really works on the ground. But I think it's very important to remember that you won't necessarily be able to access those if you think of your running in a very goal-oriented, sort of numbers-based way.
Exactly.
It has to be, because when it comes down to it, what's beautiful about running is running fits around your life.
Yeah.
That's why running is still valuable when you're not feeling happy or not feeling positive or not feeling fit.
Yeah.
It's still your friend. It's still a way of processing all that.
Totally. And it can be your companion when, you know, through the pandemic, running was my way of dealing with what was going on in the world, but giving me an opportunity to be outside. And we know that actually more it's the being outside in nature that's good for our mental health than the actual act of running. So whether you're walking or cycling or whatever, that's the bit that's important. But I feel like so many people miss out on appreciating Mother Nature, and Mother Nature really is the best therapy you could ever have.
So
for me, running is it is definitely, I guess it's a bit like coming home, you know, it's where I've met my closest friends, it's where I've met my partner, it's what we do, it's every run's a little bit of a mini adventure, particularly when you've got crazy dogs with you.
It's your reset, recharge, it's the place you always come back to.
So I think hopefully if I have not sold running to anyone by now, then maybe we might have just done.
Yeah, absolutely. Always that's what you've got to do. Every now and again, we've all got to get out there and lick the grass.
Exactly. We just be a bit more Bailey about life.
Be more Bailey.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.